So beginning now, Vat number 9, Menuchas HaNefesh. And we began already 2 weeks ago going through a series of practical examples of regular psychological challenges that everyone faces, and how the foundations of our Menuchas HaNefesh that we've been learning should really help us face and overcome these challenges. So moving on today, I want to talk about 4 new examples, although each one of these examples are a world of its own as a psychological challenge, but they all share a common thread. And therefore, I think in the approach of Menuchas HaNefesh, we could go ahead and approach all 4 examples in Be'ezer Hashem in one setting. The first example, continuing our series of examples, is social anxiety. Social anxiety means a person goes out into the world, a bacher could come and want to go sit down and learn in BMG, for example, and many people experience a tremendous challenge to just go sit down in the middle of BMG and start learning. What's the issue they feel? The place is storming in learning. You feel the fire of Torah. And when you walk in there, you start feeling inadequate, inferior. I feel empty. I can never do what they're doing. What's that guy thinking when he's looking at me? What's the other guy thinking? And hundreds of different types of thoughts enter your mind. And there's a tremendous pressure that you're feeling from entering such a social situation, such an environment. A person who experiences such a thing, it's not only his thoughts, it becomes feelings, and it becomes all 5 dimensions of self that we've mentioned, from feelings to actual physiology. A person's stomach starts hurting him, he starts getting headaches, to behavior, to relationships. It can affect all 5 dimensions of self. Such scenarios of social anxiety. There are people that actually can't learn in such big matzavim. They can only learn in a private, quiet based medrash and no one's learning, or in a shir room on the side, or chabura room. There are people that just, they can't bring themselves. It's just that social setting just kills them. I'll tell you a story. This is going on right now. Someone just shared this with me. There's a younger man who, he's not married for too long, you know. I think he's in first year or second year of marriage. And he can't go to his shver's house. Why can't he go to his shver's house? He gets along with his shver. Shver's a nice guy. But what he's finding is, he's so uncomfortable being there. They never say anything to him. But in his mind, what are they thinking? What do they think of me? He feels inadequate. He feels inferior. My other brother-in-laws that are there for Shabbos with me. And most of Shabbos he spends in his room. Could you imagine? And his poor wife wants to go to her parents' house for Shabbos, and his husband just can't bring himself to go. This is another example of social anxiety. And this plays out in many different cases. The examples are unlimited. So this is a world of its own, how people face this challenge of social anxiety going out in the world and feeling that pressure from the social scene that they're facing. Let's move on to example number 2. And then Be'ez Hashem will address all 4 examples with one approach. Example number 2 is jealousy. when we step out into the world, the reality is, or amongst people, we see things, and naturally a person starts having that feeling of jealousy, whether it's from something that somebody has. Your neighbor just got a new item, your neighbor just got a new car, or even if it's not something that they acquired, you're at work and the boss gave him a raise, or the boss promoted him and not myself, or even not in such a setting, you're by a Rosh Hashiva and the Rosh Hashiva gave him a compliment, he didn't give me the compliment, or he seems to hold of him more than me. And all these different types of examples, the very normal jealous feeling that we're all faced with when we find ourselves in a social scene of people, interactions that happen, usually stir up over time some type of level of jealousy of others. Obviously, we all know from our own life's experiences how true the Mishnah of us is in Perek Dalet, where the Mishnah says that kinah is maitzin es ha'adam in ha'olam. Jealousy could literally bring a person and remove him from this world. It could wreck someone's life. Because the feelings, the thoughts of jealousy starts off as a thought and becomes a feeling. And from feelings, it becomes part of your physiology that you push it, you start feeling it physically in your whole being, and it affects the fourth dimension of your behavior and your relationships, and all five dimensions become affected. You know, they say the suicide rate, unfortunately, is always on the rise in America. It's very high. On average, they say 133 people a day commit suicide. Can you imagine 133 people a day in America committing suicide? Majority of the underlying emotion that these people experience, why they took their life, it all, the underlying emotion was a jealousy. It was a jealousy that's the beginning of what wrecked them. And in Mela, this is a very powerful pain, and obviously it's a world of its own. Also, as a second example, I just saw last night from the Rush, in the Orchis Chaim La Rosh, unbelievable Lush, and he writes in Kuf Yud Gimel, he says, Al titein b'levavcha kina, don't let your heart be placed in jealousy, shezuhi choyla ra, she'ein la refuah. It's a disease that has no cure. It's the Lashon of the Rush, if you want to know what jealousy is. So definitely it's a world of its own, of a tremendous psychological challenge. Everybody on their madrega, on their degree, suffer from it. But it's something we also have to know how to deal with. Be'ez Hashem will return to this. A third example for today, insult. Very common, a person sitting, let's say in a dining room, we sit for a half hour, an hour with chaverim, and when you're schmoozing with an olam, it's almost like expected that in the course of the hour of schmoozing, there's going to be some line that someone said to you that you got insulted from. And they might have even just meant it as a joke, but in your mind you're thinking every joke has some truth. And at the end of the day, there's some hurt. It gets under your skin. And this is very normal in any type of setting, wherever you're going to be, in any point of your life. Not everything that's going to be said to you is always going to be sugar-coated and feel good. And a person has to know how to deal with insult. How do you get over it and move on? There are people, unfortunately, that hold on to a comment, not just for days or weeks. Sometimes it's months or years that a person holds on to a comment. I remember what he said to me when I was in second grade. Hello, wake up, like second grade? People hold on to that pain forever. Rachmana litzlan, couples. You think every time a husband and wife schmooze and have conversations, there's never a line that might not hurt you? person has to know how to deal with the pain of insult and move on and be healthy, and not that it should go ahead and wreck his life. And therefore, this is a third category that we have to talk about, of insult. How to deal with a line that might not be pleasing to you, but you have to get past it. And the fourth example of today is anger. Anger is something we all well aware of. Bottom line is, when we have encounters with others, whether it's something that someone says or he didn't say, something he did or he didn't do, whatever it is, there are things that could trigger that emotion of anger. The reality is, we expect a certain level of respect from people, even just from friends, how I expect to be treated. And by the fact that he didn't say anything to me when I walked in, or something that he did say, or something that was done or wasn't done, or in any type of interactions, many times there's an emotion that stirs up inside ourselves that triggers, how could he deal with me like that? And you start having these thoughts that anger you, and it becomes from a thought to a feeling to all five dimensions of self, of physiology, and then your behavior and your relationships. And anger could be a certain level of a emotion that could really wreck our lives. And again, it's something we have to know how to deal with and face in a healthy way. And therefore, all these four categories, as much as they're all four different examples, which each one carries a world of its own, but they all have the common thread, which is something new that we're talking about today. Until today, we brought examples of our own personal lives. I'm having regret of my decision. I have trouble making decisions. I suffer from FOMO of things I'm missing out on. All in my own personal life. Today, all these four categories touch upon one common thread. We're entering the world, the social world out there, and any one of these four big topics could come up. Four big examples where each one's a world of its own. But what's the approach in all the foundations of Menuchas HaNefesh that we've been learning? How do we go ahead and tackle and overcome these type of challenges that they shouldn't wreck our lives? So in Menuchas HaNefesh, which we've been talking about, which means experiencing life through the lens of our neshama, by definition, Menuchas HaNefesh, by definition, which meant, by definition, living with an inner balance, the neshama at our center, living as our true self, who we really are as a neshama, by definition, it's accompanied by also another point. And that is, if I'm really living through the lens of my neshama, of who my true self is, I have that realization that people don't affect me. Who I am, my value, my worth, my infinite value are all in the eyes of Hashem, literally infinite, that people's view makes no difference. What they look at me as really doesn't matter. My true self doesn't change by their opinion. David HaMelech is always the perfect example. In Tanakh, we know David HaMelech's life, from all the Chazals brought down, what a challenge and a trouble David HaMelech faced throughout his life. Just the fact that he had his seven older brothers, he felt he was the unworthy one. They were all much greater than me. And throughout his life, Shaul HaMelech trying to go ahead and kill him, and his own child trying to destroy him, and all of the other challenges, unlimited stories about David HaMelech's challenging life. Yet in many psukim in Tehillim, he reveals to us part of his secret of how David HaMelech became David HaMelech, how he became who he was with all his challenges, with his chaotic life that he lived, literally facing turbulence throughout his flight through life, yet he kept his equilibrium, he kept his inner balance. What was his secret? So every week we begin the Shir of the Yom with a pasuk in Perek Chaf Dalet and Tehillim, which is so unbelievable. It's like the beginning of a week. It feels like that's the pasuk that we have to remember the whole week. Lashem ha'oretz umloyo tevil v'yoshveva. David HaMelech said, with David Mizmar, Lahashem ha'oretz umloyo. It's Hashem's control of the entire land and everything that fills it. Tevil, the dry land, v'yoshveva, and all its inhabitants that fill the land. David HaMelech lived his life with the reality that Hashem is controlling it all. Literally, people don't make a difference. Like he said in the pasuk in Kuf Yud Ches, Hashem li lo ira, Hashem's with me, ma yase li adam. What could anybody do to me? Nobody can do anything to me. Could you imagine living life with such a reality? Realizing that nobody has any control to do anything to me. Their opinion doesn't matter. What they're thinking about me doesn't make a difference, because nothing that they could do could affect my life. It's something that takes time to develop and think about, to really internalize. It goes so far that in the mitzvah of Nekama, Mitzvah Mem Aleph in Sefer HaChinuch, someone does something to you, and many times I've heard this from people, I have to get back at him. What a nerve for him to do this to me. And people touch upon the feeling that they have to take revenge. You know what the Sefer HaChinuch says in Mitzvah Reshem Aleph when he says the mitzvah that you're not allowed to take revenge, Lo Yisikoim? Mishroshei HaMitzvah. The root of the mitzvah is Sheyeda ha'odam, a person has to know. V'yitin aliba, you have to put it into your heart, into your bloodstream. It takes time to internalize. But you have to go ahead and internalize it. Ki kol asher yikreyu mitoy vad ra. Anything that happens in your life, from good to bad, husiba shetavoy alav me'eis Hashem. It's something that was caused to happen to you from Hashem. U'miyad ha'odam, Miyad ish achiv lo yiyeh davar. From nobody, not your any person or any brother or friend or anybody, could anything happen. If something happened to you, it's directly orchestrated from Hashem doing it to you. He might have done it through that person, but it's all directly from Hashem. And therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, if Hashem Yisbarach was gozo alav b'kach, Hashem decreed this has to happen to you, why would you want to feel like you have to take revenge? Who ain't Sibas Riyasa? He's not the cause of why this happened to you. Even though he was the rod of how it actually came in the physical world, that has nothing to do with him. Why do you feel angry at him? Hashem wanted this to be. Hashem's decree. If it wasn't Reuven, Shimon would have done it. And if Levi didn't do it, Yisachar would have done it. There's no end. Hashem had to have this happen to you. It's the Rabbeinu Shlom's decree. Which means, literally, the Chinuch is teaching you, people are puppets. People actually are puppets. Not even 1% of what they do is them doing it. You know, you don't know what a puppet show is, because in today's day and age, we don't have puppet shows. But when I was growing up, before this world of technology, literally, like in the 1980s, when I was a young boy and we went to the bungalow colony, so how do you entertain boys? couldn't bring in the videos and all these things that they have today of technology. It's a rainy day. We all got together in the social hall and they had a puppet show come. And the guy would set up a box and literally put on a puppet show. And we watched the puppet show. And the puppets, you know, would go ahead and interact and all that. And at times the puppet would go ahead and, you know, would go ahead and talk to us and say things to us. Hey, what do you think you're doing over there? You know, this type of stuff. Now, are you going to get upset at a puppet? You have clarity. Who's pulling the strings behind the puppet show? There's a master who's pulling the strings, orchestrating the whole thing. And with this type of muscle that's so clear in my mind of what a puppet show looks like, you have to realize people are only puppets. You may never experience it with that clarity that I experienced it because you don't know what a puppet show is. But literally, puppets, not even 1% is the puppet going ahead and doing his own thing. It's all the guy who's running the puppet show and getting paid to come on the rainy day. It's all him. No, nothing to do with the puppet. People are puppets. This is what the Chinuch is saying. And you have to remember that. The Rashi Tevis, Pap. Just remember, PAP, when anything happens in life, people are only puppets. He did it to me. He was just a puppet. It's all Hashem. And this is a reality that we have to internalize. In the world we live in, and we get out there, we notice things by people, and we feel challenged when we see people succeeding. People open up a store with competition and you feel that their competition is going ahead and affecting you. In this theme of people being puppets, we have to realize that the Gemara in Yuma brings down a Lama Chesam Adbeis with such reality that the Gemara says, Ein Odom Noigeya Bemuchan L'Chaveiroi. A person cannot affect something that's prepared for you, Afilu Kamalai Nima, even a breath. A hear breath. Nobody affects what you're supposed to have. If something is supposed to come to you, nobody could possibly take it away, not even a hear breath of taking it away. This reality of people being puppets is so real. Literally, everybody's just a puppet, and just because you see someone getting offered the position, he got promoted and you didn't, and you feel like, you know, your mother had one thing to give out and she gave it to your brother and not to you. Why didn't I get it? It's not like that. Your mother giving it to your brother and not to you, your mother's just a puppet. Hashem wanted him to have it and that's it. And Hashem is pulling all the strings in this puppet show. So let's take a moment, since time is short, to go ahead and answer up and discuss all four examples of challenges, how the Menuchas HaNefesh approach of the foundation of how Menuchas HaNefesh helps in all four challenges individually. Number one, today's first example that we gave of social anxiety. A person feels uncomfortable walking into a big base medrash and he finds the only place he can learn is in a side room where no one's around. A person has to remember, in his foundations of Menuchas HaNefesh, I should have no problem walking in. People are just puppets. Their opinion doesn't matter. What they're thinking about me doesn't matter. I don't have to live up to a different puppet. Why should I feel inadequate because of him? Why do I feel inferior because of him? It's all puppets in the same puppet show. It doesn't matter at all. And the more you remember people are puppets, the more you have the ability to walk in with a pride and a shtoltz and sit down and learn and just gain from the kol Torah that's there. You don't have to hide in a quiet base medrash. This younger man who can't walk into his shver's house because he feels inferior in front of his other brother-in-laws and he feels like he doesn't know what his shver is thinking about him. What does it matter what puppets think? A person has to remember people are puppets. It shouldn't affect you. And it's a reality. The more you have the inner calm of living a life through your inner self, your true self, your neshama at the center, you're living your life through the lens of your neshama, it's impossible to feel any social anxiety. Now, obviously, when a person's experiencing it and it's troubling him, you might have to go ahead and pull out the method of fact to go ahead and elevate your thoughts. If the thoughts are pounding on you or feeling inferior, you might have to go through that step of FACT. You might have to use centering and go ahead. And if you want to walk into a base measures which thoughts not bother you, maybe sometimes a physical act of centering can help you. Or any other methods of golden threads, you might have to reconstruct yourself a little bit. But in a general sense, we have to know, and by definition, the foundation of Menuchas Nefesh that we've been learning should give us a different approach to social anxiety. Moving on to example two that we mentioned, jealousy. A person who has Menuchas Nefesh understands that people are puppets and there's nothing about what anybody has that talks to me. Just because that puppet got dressed up with something extra, so you're upset that they don't dress this puppet like that too? People are puppets. What he has doesn't take away from you, and what he has doesn't make you feel like you need it. It's all a puppet show. And we have to realize that the reality, that all those feelings of what I need, I have to live up to society. If you realize this truth, people are puppets, the whole jealousy disappears. A person realizes, you know, like it's brought down. The same way you're not jealous of a bird that has wings. If you would grow wings, it would be considered a mum. You don't want wings. The master plan knows exactly what's perfect for you. And what people have shouldn't even enter, like the Rosh said, don't let it enter your mind at all. Because once it gets in, there's no refuah, there's no healing. You have to look at it at first, right away, with that mindset. People are puppets, I don't care what anybody has. Because once the jealousy finds a place inside you, says the Rosh, there's no healing for such a disease. The third example we gave was insult. Dealing with people's lines that insulted me. And people hold on to the insult and that pain forever. Again, if a person lives with Menuchas HaNefesh and understands that people are puppets, you're going to allow what a puppet said to you to bother you? It's not him. Hashem wanted you to have that pain. Hashem wanted you to feel that insult. Whatever reason, what Hashem's cheshbonus and his perfect design why he needed you to have that. But what does that have to do with that person? You're going to live now holding on to that insult and being upset at that human being? He's just a puppet. What do you want from his life? The orchestration is all through Hashem's perfect design. He did it, not that person. And the male insult too disappears when you realize people are puppets and Hashem's running the world with perfect design, kulay toiv. And lastly, anger is the same point. Things that trigger anger is also, how could you allow that interaction of what the guy did or didn't do or say or didn't say trigger anger? People are puppets. Why would that go ahead and affect you? The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted that hanhaga, that in his perfect design, the Rebbeinu Shalom running its world, he wanted that to play out, that you should have that pain. For whatever reasoning, Hashem has all the calculations of why it's needed. But that shouldn't trigger anger. An anger at a puppet? And therefore, this Menuchas HaNefesh view, that you realize people are puppets, and it doesn't affect you at all, what people say, do, think, or anything, is really an approach that solves all these common four psychological challenges that people face. I just want to share with you something fascinating. In the Orcha Sadikim, he brings down that a chassid, a person gets the title of being pious, a chassid, al shem haboishes, it comes from the embarrassment. Because he said the word chassid means white. And he brings a maramakim in a pasuk. Chassid means white. He's called white. Because to be a chassid, you have to know how to go ahead and tolerate. Ha-chassid tzorech lizbol boishas. People that are pious, the greatest people that are chassidim, they're a chassid, they're pious individuals, it comes from this, that people could say things to you, and you could experience embarrassment and being white, that's boishas, and yet you know how to tolerate it, and you know how to move on, and that's part of why you carry a title of being a chassid. So Mela, it's an unbelievable point to realize how that greatness that you might carry of carrying a title of chassid is because you know how to get past the feeling of insult and that pain that people experience. And I just end off, the Rambam brings down in the mitzvah of mezuzah that the tachlis of walking in and out and kissing the mezuzah, the reason what the mezuzah is there for, he says, kol eishi yikonis v'yetim. Whenever you go in and out of a room and you have a mezuzah, you go outside, you kiss the mezuzah, it reminds you, yizkor ahavosoi, it reminds you of Hashem's love to you, v'yeir mishnosi, it wakes you up from your slumber, that you're sleeping through hevlei azman, the emptiness of this world. You get caught up in the fake world of our surroundings, and by kissing the mezuzah, you remember, miyad u'chayz l'dayte, it puts you back to your mind of the reality of life, the true reality, life through the lens of your neshama, which means when you go ahead and kiss the mezuzah, you bring your finger to your lips. I realize lips stands for life is a puppet show. And therefore you're reminded, every time you walk in and out, you're being reminded when you put your mouth to your lips that life is a puppet show. Why am I getting caught up with all these different four examples of the social world that I'm in? I'm walking into a Beis Medrash and I feel uncomfortable. You kiss the mezuzah, you remind yourself, this is a puppet show. I can sit down with a geshmak in a big Beis Medrash and not be affected. You know how many bachim come back to BMG from Eretz Yisrael and they say, no, I don't like BMG, it's just too much for me. They don't realize what they're saying is this challenge of social anxiety. You're saying you're not healthy, that's what you're telling me. You don't like BMG, why not? I can't put it into words. It means I'm suffering with social anxiety and I'm not healthy, that's what you're telling me. That's the reality. And all four of examples, social anxiety, jealousies from the world that we live in, insult, anger, they all share this common thread. And the solution to this common thread is to walk through the mezuzah and kiss it. And remember, life is a puppet show. It's a bunch of puppets. Nothing in the social world should affect you of the social surroundings, the social environment that we're there, we find ourselves in. Because when I'm living with Menuchas HaNefesh, through the lens of my neshama, and I'm balanced, people are puppets. Life is just one big puppet show, and none of this affects me. I put on the side over here all the different vadim that we've gone through. Beis Hashem, next week will be vad number 10, will be the last vad, and we'll address two more examples. And anybody who doesn't have the recordings, you should know it's all available on shearbank.org. You could log in for free on shearbank.org and get all the vadim that you need.